Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Fire in the Taco Bell, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Dortmund are in the final and Manchester United still won't sack Erik ten Hag. It's Wednesday, 8th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
Hello, everybody. It's good to have you here. Mittwoch, certainly, Andy, as the Germans would say. Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Emil, for giving us that intro line. A lovely one, Luke Moore.
Danger High Voltage by the Electric Six.
When we touch and when we smooch.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
are they the Electric Six? Like it's the Arsenal?
I think it's just Electric Six, isn't it? I don't know if I said that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Took us back there.
The video for Gay Bar, if you haven't seen it, it's brilliant.
Come on.
They're all dressed as Abraham Lincoln.
Now, now you are
every
talking.
Single one of them with their tops on. It's great.
Oh dear, it's what Abe would have wanted.
And we've got our tops off today as well.
Some of us.
Check out the YouTube channel for proof.
Please do. You can submit the intro line for next Wednesday's show by signing up to the Football Ramble Patreon for just $5 a month. You'll also get ad-free versions of the Ramble OTC and Upfront, as well as an extended version of every Wednesday Ramble. On last week's Ramble, Jim revealed that he's trying to domesticate a pigeon.
Yeah, and I think it's a nice departure for Jim, because normally he just talks about the various clumsy injuries he's got.
Yeah.
So presumably the pigeon's going to die a death.
One of them's going to go.
He's going to fall on it. Exactly, it will be. It will be like Alien versus Predator.
Now, what will happen is Jim will come home one day and think, where are my keys? And the pigeon will be inside dangling his keys going, oh, how the tides have turned.
The pigeon will wring Jim's neck. Yeah.
Exactly.
With his talons.
And then throw him up in the air and shoot him.
And the dog will come along and pick him up and bring him back to the pigeon.
Exactly. You'll find out about that and much more, of course. Just head over to patreon.com/footballramble to listen to that. Paris Saint-Germain 0, Borussia Dortmund 1, 2-0 on Ag. Paris, as you affectionately call them, Andy, because you're in the pocket of the big boys, are out. What do you make of that, tough guy?
I think sometimes there's no justice and the good guys don't always win. That's what I think.
And I also think if you are TNT Sports going to show Julien Laurent before the game, you really should be showing him after the game as well. That's what I think.
It's a fantastic win. It's a stunning result, this. And I have to say that before this tie was played at all, I really didn't give Dortmund too much of a chance, only because of what Andy said.
You need to step up your game. You're having a nightmare today.
I was like, Andy, wouldn't it be great if they went, you know, the finals at Wembley again? You know, I personally was there. It was a good fortune to see them playing that final at Wembley in 2013.
He kept going on about return on investment.
Yeah.
Where's your heart?
I normally keep these marginal opinions, like Paris Saint-Germain favourites, to OTC, where no one.
Yeah, exactly.
But what PSG should look on the bright side, because what they can do is use quite a lot of the footage from this game as to make up a trailer for an European Super League tilt.
As someone said yesterday after the result, this will only spur them on to win the league next year.
Exactly.
I can use this as fuel.
I'd say something. A team that has lost 4-1 to Newcastle United in this competition cannot be winning it, right?
Yeah.
So the footballing gods, they got it spot on last night. But when
I've had PSG's number all season. I was the only person to say Newcastle had beat them back in October or whenever it was.
No, we all remembered it.
PSG clearly got some big shortcomings if they're going to lose to Newcastle and then Dortmund over two legs.
Yeah, well, Dortmund, of course, they put away Newcastle in the group and now they put away PSG again. Although PSG did hit the post six times across the two legs, as we were constantly reminded. And again, people, for those who remember...
It's not a goal if you do that.
No, it is not Roberto Baggio's magical kicks. It is painful when you have to remind the broadcaster that.
So I've got two things on that. One, it got to the point when lead commentator of TNT Sports Darren Fletcher seemed to think that was some kind of measure that would contribute to the final result. Well, six times now.
If you get 10, you get a goal.
It means nothing. Secondly, commentators everywhere, stop saying denied by the bar or post. That's the bar or post job. It's not doing something it shouldn't
be
doing.
It's not a remote control. They used their bar to lowered it.
Oh, if the bar wasn't there, that wouldn't be a goal.
But no, this is part of French football heritage, because when St Etienne lost in the final in 1976 to Bayern at Hampden Park, they always talk in French football history about how they had square posts.
Yes. We had those in our school field.
Whereas Vincent Duluc wrote in L'Equipe this morning, we had round posts and bars, but square feet, unfortunately.
Yes. Very nice, actually.
That is very good. Look, if you are going to hit the bar and you want to score a goal, make sure, like Jeff Hurst did, Sir Jeff Hurst now, that it goes over the line.
Yeah.
And it definitely did.
And if it doesn't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There was one or two finishes, one from Mbappe. He was bloody lucky to hit the bar. screwed it into the ground with acres of space around it.
Oh, dear. Well, look, clearly the cheat code in this year's Champions League, Vitujan Hanthuraja, is having an Englishman on board. And PSG didn't. So more fool them.
I know. Mm. You know, Mbappe working behind the scenes to get rid of Neymar and Messi, bringing his own French mates in, get some English mates.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what we say to you.
But Manchester United's Jadon Sancho is in the Champions League final.
Yeah, yeah. And briefly, Manchester United's Marcel Sabitzer as well.
Yeah.
Do we see anything for that? I did think it was quite interesting that the game yesterday was actually a little bit rubbish.
Yeah.
But it was rubbish in the way that Dortmund wanted it to
be. Oh, yes.
They had a plan, right?
Yeah.
They stuck to it.
We'll give it to your wingers who can't cross.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, the crossing!
They can't cross for your strikers who aren't on the field anymore.
Yeah, by the way, so you know in football often, obviously, tactical advancements are made throughout the years and you know, some of them stay and you build on and build on and build on and so on. And some, you know, are like fads go in and out. Wouldn't it be hilarious, like in 10 years' time, the crossing game just comes back in because nobody can cross the ball because they've all been playing
what
that.
What would
little...
they have given for a David Beckham last night? Eh?
Oh. Mm.
But I guess that's the thing. If you're Gonzalo Ramos, you just didn't get served, did you? But
I think
that's the way that football's gone mainly. The out and out wingers are more rare and you get more wide forwards, isn't it?
But I find it really funny how this is, you know, it's almost too far gone now because these are two players who've been at PSG for a while. But I find it quite funny with Mbappe and Dembele. Whenever they get the ball in their respective wings, they just get left alone by their own teammates because there's almost an understanding that, like, he's not going to cross it first time. He might not even cross it third time. He might just try and cut in and bang it or look for a 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else happens in the middle. So I do have a bit of sympathy when, you know, for the other players, when the commentators were like, oh, and there's no one in the box. Like, yeah, because they've been through this time and time before.
So to keep up with them is quite difficult.
But Dortmund, the number of times they stop and cut in and cut back.
Like, Dortmund followed their plan pretty well, even if it was flawed, because they are flawed, obviously, which is why they gave up a lot of chances. But what they did very, very well over the two legs, and what Sancho and Adeyemi did very well over the two legs, and obviously Sancho got a lot of praise, quite rightly, for his first leg performance. They did a really good defensive job because neither Hakimi or Nuno Mendes could contribute anything attack-wise. And they're the players who could get around the back. They're the players who could deliver.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, actually, could they?
Well, Hakimi's one of those fullbacks who's known for his attacking prowess more than his defensive qualities, which he has. Mm. But you're right, though. I mean, Sancho, often it's been spoken about that his sort of defensive desires, you could say, obviously in qualities as well, are just not there. And Hakimi, you know, would paper over a lot of that for him, or do a lot of the running and so on. But
it's almost as if players don't get better at Manchester United. And it's a weird thing. Did either of you, three guys, like look at Marcel Sabitzer over these two games and thought they have Man United have genuinely let him go and go back to Bayern and sign for Dortmund? And bought Mason Mount for 3 times the price.
Yeah. Well, they bought Casemiro for 60 million. But I mean, come on. In the second half, we've got to talk about that.
Mm. Well, at the time, with Sabitzer, there was a sense that like United had lucked out in some way, considering that they were like, right, United need a striker. So they end up having to settle for Wout Weghorst. Mm. Then you get someone like Sabitzer on loan, and you're like, okay, this is kind of interesting. Mm. And there was a lot of talk about, maybe he hasn't convinced the management of his qualities enough to sign him.
Am I misremembering that he was quite good for United?
No, he wasn't that good.
It's difficult to be good.
Well, there's that as well. Like, there was no structure around him. Whereas here, he had a clear job and he was magnificent. Even Brandt as well. I don't think Brandt had the best game on the ball, but off it, they were just... Like, well, you can say that about every player in yellow.
Indeed, we've mentioned a lot of names, but we haven't mentioned yet Luke, Hummels and Schlotterbeck. Yeah. I mean, how good were those two?
Hummels particularly. I sent to the guys last night, I think he's been the best defender in the Champions League I've seen this season. I think he's amazing for it, particularly for his age. He's got so much experience. He's so strong. He does all the basic stuff really well. The only kind of slight mistake he made was that when he went to ground a bit too easily, I think it was Dembele chopped past him. And that could have been a penalty. I think
very close.
What's really odd, and maybe the laws have changed, but I did check and I can't see how they have changed. The laws of the game are that if the foul continues into the penalty area, it's a penalty, and the line itself counts as the penalty area. I think on another night they could have had a penalty there, but that was really
it's
the
just
only
not
mistake.
Conclusive, is it?
No, it's not.
The footage.
It was one of those ones where if it was given, it wouldn't have been overturned.
Exactly. Yeah.
But and then also I find it like I say this quite a lot, but I find it interesting how a lot about football at the top level is about controlling as much as you can, controlling as many details as possible, and then obviously the interest and the jeopardy in football comes from the things that aren't able to be controlled, like a bit of genius or a crazy decision or whatever, because we're dealing with human beings. I can't see why PSG make it so easy for Mats Hummels to head that ball in for a goal. I mean, like, he's brilliant in the air, and he always has been brilliant in the air. And there's quite a kind of body of work behind him at 35 to realise that actually probably if they whip on him well to the back post, he's going to be a problem. And yet, and maybe it's just because it's PSG and I think it's frankly hilarious that they are never going to win the Champions League. As far it's just brilliant they've never done it. I don't care who knows it. I think it's hilarious. Mm. But it feels to me there's an element of them that like, they almost think they're a bit above it. Mm. They just think, we're not defending set pieces. Fucking bit old school, and not doing that. We want to give the ball to Mbappe. What possible TikTok video can we share around from a fucking set piece? We ain't doing that. And it just feels like that all the time. I'm sure it's probably not that, but it feels like that. And then Mats Hummels comes along with just the most old school bullet header going. And that's the difference, really. That is the difference on the night, because it really... It was
The quality of the crossing was the difference on the
Well, no, but psychologically that killed PSG. That killed them dead. You could see how exasperated they were. You could see how much
There was definitely 10-15 minutes after that where they couldn't rouse themselves. I mean,
then after that, even they started just trying way too hard.
Yeah, you're expecting Dortmund to come under the cosh at some point, and they did, but it took a while for PSG to focus on that. And even then, it was chaotic pressure. It wasn't really part of a plan. I mean, Luis Enrique's subs were weird. I mean, why you bring off Ramos and bring on Marco Asensio, who I just don't understand the point.
That was a proper FIFA Asensio's substitution.
Done nothing all season.
Yeah. He can hit bangers.
Speaking of bangers, I mean,
Vitinha.
Yeah. The kind of caveat to what I just said is you've got to give Vitinha credit. I mean, the Mbappe chance where he hit the woodwork. Was it Mbappe went to the ground and hit the bar?
Yeah, it
was
a really good save.
But he should have struck that much better. The Vitinha one was just actually quite unlucky because he absolutely dinged it. And I mean, another day that would have gone in.
They hit the six times as we were off constant reminded.
Yeah.
That is unlucky. I take the point.
But,
unlucky.
But is it unlucky, or is it after a while that becomes a habit and that's careless?
Yeah, whatever it is, they didn't score a goal over two games
exactly.
against a side who, as I said before, and I'm sure everybody said, my goodness, he'd have offered them a semi-final against this season's Borussia Dortmund. They'd have taken
it all day long.
Few people would have selected Dortmund as winners. Even less people would have selected them keeping two clean sheets.
Yeah, they wouldn't have, bit Dortmund's hand off. They would have paid a load of money to get Dortmund's hand. Way more than they needed to pay, then they would have kept the hand and ruined it.
Careful, we do talk about the Premier League a lot here. Yeah.
That's what PSG would have done.
PSG should really be campaigning, a bit like what Rangers and Celtic...
To get into the Premier League.
To get into the Premier League.
I'll tell you what, you've hit me cold with that. Instinctively, I don't hate that. I don't hate that idea. Well, leave the French people alone. Yeah. Let them do their own thing.
The funniest thing about it is that PSG have been against the Super League, yeah?
Mm. Well...
No,
they have, totally.
They have.
They've been invited.
No, but they've been one of the main objectives to it because they felt like they didn't need it. I wonder if this sends them over the edge and they think, oh, fuck it, let's do it.
Mm. If you think about it, PSG... massively fit culturally the Premier League. The Premier League's an absolute cesspit of money, right?
I've never seen Andy so interested in something you've said before.
That's more about me than Andy. They belong in there, Fish. Come on in.
No, no.
Do you know what? I'll take out the Premier League to replace them? Fucking Man United.
Yeah.
Not up to standard.
But they're going to finish at 8th in Ligue 1 next season.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Imagine if they do that and they get picked by Nice, the other Ineos club.
Look, we're all pleased that Dortmund have made the final. A team close to your heart, of course, Andy. You've been there many, many times. And Marco Reus will play his last game for Borussia Dortmund at the final at Wembley, of course, where he played in 2013, where they were beaten by...
End of his first season, though.
Bayern, yeah.
I mean, what an incredible... full circle.
Yeah. I'm not even going to write them off because that would Marcus be foolish.
You wouldn't have seen much of that game because you were with Zidane. You were with Zizi, weren't you, in the VIP area?
Courtesy
of our friends at Adidas. Well, your friends at Adidas. You can be some of that, but your friends at Adidas, yeah.
Well, impossible is nothing, I would say.
How many stripes out of three would you give the experience?
So people listening now think,
genuinely
has Mark has always been this pompous? Yes, he has. 11 years ago, he was still this pompous.
I remember, I was.
Did you give him a noogie?
I did. That's why he's got no hair. What little bit he had left.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, maybe we'll talk more about my
But it's
stuff.
A nice story for Marco Reus. A really nice story.
Well, a lovely story for me as well. And I think that final.
But unfortunately, and what happened tonight obviously remains to be seen, but it just smacks of Dortmund getting beaten by Bayern in the final.
Well, do you know what? If Bayern,
the same way they used to, in my mind, they used to chase Dortmund down in the Bundesliga every single season. Everyone believed that Dortmund could do it, and obviously occasionally they did, but basically Bayern would always chase them down.
True. I tell you what, though, with Klopp presumably unemployed, he'll be there.
Get him in. Do a Barnsley. Get him in for the final.
Top off the whole lot. That'd be glorious. But I know what you mean by that. If Bayern are to progress this evening, which they would be, second favourites to do that behind Real Madrid, of course. But if they were, I did think, but the bigger side, when it's two teams from the same league, the bigger side that they always triumph, and you think of Liverpool v Spurs, or remember if it was Valencia. May not be Chelsea would have been a closer. But then I thought, would Chelsea beat Man City?
The advantage for Dortmund would be that it's not at the Allianz Arena, where they always completely wet themselves.
That is a big advantage.
I mean, we've talked about Harry Kane breaking new ground in terms of the popularity he's had in Germany. He might even break Lewandowski's single season goal record. He's broken new ground by not winning
the title.
Maybe you could break new ground by losing to Dortmund in the Champions
League.
I love the idea
of Harry Kane saying to the lads in the Bayern Munich dressing room, guys, I've got a revolutionary idea.
Yeah.
How about we don't win the league this season? He never goes, you're all right, Harry.
I think if Bayern are to progress, then I think Tuchel just might leave him out the match they scored for the final. but of course, if Real Madrid are to go through to the final, then Jude Bellingham comes face to face with his old side, which would be quite something. And I think that he would be full of the dark arts in that game.
Yeah, there's plenty of narrative. Thomas Tuchel against his former club? There's loads. Mm. Loads.
Hey, I didn't even think about old Tommy Tuchel. Will he still be there? He'd probably stick around for the final, wouldn't he, if they got through?
I think he might.
Yeah. Although Bayern could do what Spurs did with Jose Mourinho. Right, we're going to give it to Philipp Lahm or something.
The fans at Bayern did a petition to try and get Tuchel to stay, right? And Tuchel seemed like genuinely surprised to be popular with anyone.
Yeah.
Then Uli Hoeneß took him down a peg or two by like completely massacring his managerial chops in public a day later.
Oh, dear.
It's the Bayern way.
It is the Bayern way. Yeah, yeah.
The only way it could be any more Bayern is if all of them didn't pay any tax.
That's right, yeah. Before we move on, some wonderful stuff was happening on the official Borussia Dortmund Twitter or X feed, should I say, X handle.
Yeah, the English language the English one, language which I think one. gives it a pass, because I don't like official club feeds being like banter feeds. But if it's a different language, I think you've got an excuse.
I think you do. Well, obviously, Paris Saint-Germain, when they beat when they beat Dortmund that time in 2020 with that Haaland celebration. When he did that sort of
yoga
celebration, yeah, that's what it was, and then they all sort of mugged him off afterwards, and then
possibly the most small time move ever. Yeah,
it was embarrassing
mugging off an 18-year-old.
Exactly, yeah. But if you're going to go small, you have to go so small it just becomes wonderfully petty. Yeah. And as I say, the Dortmund feed tastes like a fine wine.
With a screenshot of that, exactly.
Yeah. So,
but the great thing about it is an official Borussia Dortmund feed has gone back. Quite literally 4 years to find that, and taking the piss.
It was in COVID. There were no fans there to see it.
Exactly.
Oh, but we all saw the photo, Andy, and we saw it again last night, thanks to that X feed. Right, let's come home and talk about some EFL playoffs. Bolton reached the League One playoff final last night, despite losing 3-2 on the night. They went through 5-4 on aggregate. The manager said that the last 15 minutes of that game were the most unenjoyable 15 minutes of his entire life. Which was quite good. Pitch invasion at full time. You often get this, though, in the semi-finals of the playoffs. It happened at Craven Cottage once. I obviously didn't get involved because I was shouting, lads, there's still a final to play.
Yeah, but it's your last home game.
But you've got to enjoy these moments.
And it's not very Fulhamish, is it?
Not very Fulhamish. But
what's wrong with a polite clap?
Well, according
like seeing a boundary at
the door. They actually came on to replace the divots.
Yeah. According to Vish, as it's the last game, then you should all break the rules and run onto the pitch.
Yeah,
or just feel a part of your community.
Vish, would you like to see
how the groundsman sees it?
Vish said to me earlier he'd like to see every single one of those fans get a ban. That's what he said to me.
Yeah, if they want.
If you are going to do it like that. Who was it who smashed that ball in the top corner on the pitch? Was
the Birmingham City.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So Ian Everett's done an amazing job at Bolton.
Yeah.
Like, they play great football. They've been brilliant. When he took over compared to now, it's just incredible. He got them up from League Two. They've been decent and competitive in League One for a while.
Well, yeah,
they've improved really year on year. And now I'd be quite surprised if they don't go up through the playoffs now.
But it feels like the destiny is calling them back to the Championship. But they haven't been since 2019.
Yeah,
a club that size.
There is a but here. I think it's fine for fans to run on, celebrate. You know, it's the final home game, I suppose, of the season anyway, because obviously the playoff final will be at Wembley. They've had a good season. I totally get it. I don't think the players should be drinking beers in the stands with the fans with their tops off.
That's an issue.
That is
an issue.
What if they had the tops on?
I mean, that takes it down a notch. I still think it's probably a little bit ill-advised.
I should say so.
Richard Keys would have been turning in his grave and he were dead.
If he was.
If he were dead, of course. Which he isn't the time of recording, we should make absolutely clear.
Time of recording.
I always check before I come in. Yeah. Obviously, phone goes on, do not disturb when you're recording. Yeah. Last thing I do is Keys still alive. I've got a heart monitor on him. It's like, have you seen the film Aliens, where the captain's in the ship and he's watching their monitors on? I've got that with Keys.
Right, I see. Yeah.
I thought it was like Interstellar, when we walk into the studio and we leave, more time has passed than the hour. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah.
What's the key? Oh, he's just opened another Lucozade. I'm monitoring everything he does, is what I'm trying to say.
Please do. Just to make sure he's still in Qatar.
Yeah.
Because we don't want him leaving there. Ian Everett did say it is for the fans, for us. It's not about celebrating too much.
He was talking about the beer. That's not for you, that's for the fans. Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy this beer on your behalf. Presumably you've also brought it.
So look, it's good for Bolton.
It was a great game, by the way.
Yeah, it was a good game, and they eventually made hard work of it. But as I say, a club that size will feel that they belong in the Championship, maybe even onto the Premier League in a few years' time. But yeah, they have gone. I mean, they nearly went out of business, for crying out loud. And I know we often say this about clubs. It is worth reminding, because they are a storied, very proud club. And without being sort of too pious about this, it can happen to anybody, really. And so it's always worth reminding ourselves that.
It's worth reminding people that, for example, I was looking at Bolton for the show today. They've spent 73 seasons in the top flight.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a big club. Yeah, they've been around for a long old time, absolutely, and they've done some amazing things. So it's great to see them back on the up. And also, as we've said many times on this show this season, under Ian Everett, they play interesting and good football. Like, yeah, he's like a proper disciple of Guardiola, and he's showing that if they do get promoted, you can go up through the leagues from a fairly low level playing good stuff, and that's cool.
Which is great. It's a very good point to make. Crawley beat MK Dons 3-0 at home in their first leg of the League Two playoffs last night. Have some of that, eh, Andy?
Well, it's obviously I don't want them to win, but I don't,
so you're
really
pleased?
I don't really want to play them again next season either.
Yeah, okay.
What a quandary.
What a quandary indeed. The moment of the game, though, was when Crawley's Liam Kelly, who got man of the match, by the way, opened the score, and he made an incredible back pass from almost the halfway line at one stage.
Did you see the goalkeeper's control?
Unbelievable.
For those who haven't seen it, and I'm suspecting there might be quite a few people listening to who haven't seen Crawley beat Milton Keynes last night, incredible back pass is one way of describing it.
Yeah.
I would say a mortally ill-advised back pass, which was almost a kind of deal with that keeper. It was a kind of back pass that Roy Keane used to smash at new players who'd signed for Man United in training to see what their first touch was like. It was miles in the air.
Yeah.
The keeper was over his head. He had to run back towards his own goal.
Yeah.
And then he brought it down nicely, took a nice touch around the striker and set up another attack.
So two opposition players pressing. I mean, it was one of those ones where when I saw the back pass happen, I thought to myself, Crawley, take the corner against you, because that will result in a goal. Yeah.
When sometimes one of you guys put it in the group, I assumed it must have been with 5 minutes left when they were 3-0 up, but they were only 1-0 up at the time, and it was in the first half.
This is a brilliant moment.
I should remind everyone as well, as I said the week or two ago, Crawley were among the favourites to be relegated this season.
Yeah, yeah, so they're like this season's Stevenage, aren't they?
Basically, yeah.
But without Stevenage.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, Doncaster won the other playoff semi-final 2-0 away to Crewe, extending their unbeaten run.
What
a 12 games.
Momentum. It's momentum.
They were 20th in the table after 35 games of the league season.
Like
35 games.
In the middle of March, they beat Wimbledon, and it's like they've eased their relegation fears.
I know that in the football league, you know, the seasons are like, you know, major league baseball games, seasons. It is about, they play like 115 games a season down there. But still, like 20th after 35 games, and they're on the verge. It is incredible. Right, before we go to a break, everybody, some of you may have seen this. Jamie O'Hara and Ryan Barbel, not natural bedfellows, I give you, but you never know, are to feature on a new dating show, Love Undercover.
They're not dating each other.
Well, Andy,
well, apparently they're strange bedfellows, aren't they? So who knows?
Well,
that'd be a plot twist, wouldn't it?
That would be a plot twist.
Oh, it turns out they're married.
At the time of recording, it's not been revealed that they're together. So this show, Love Undercover, is where former football players try to find love without telling the potential partners they were once footballers. Presumably, Colo Torre is involved.
I think it's the point of it is that they're obviously famous. I mean, because the thing about it, I've watched the trailer. Don't ask me why, but I have.
Mm.
Jamie O'Hara, they overstate how famous he is in the UK.
But I suppose, though,
he's the more famous of all of them, though.
Like, Barb will be much more famous.
No,
than
but,
in the, but in the UK.
But O'Hara's on the radio.
But
this
show
is American TV.
I think the show's in America.
Yeah, right.
It is.
Yeah,
I mean, Peacock,
that,
isn't it?
That is utterly crucial because I think you're right. Because the amount.
But I think O'Hara could do it here.
To be fair, I did think to myself they could all do it here.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's fine. But also as well, I would imagine in the States that they would just be like, "Oh, you're a professional football player or soccer player. Oh, right." I don't think that would particularly move
it wouldn't.
Anybody.
But what they've, as part of the conceit, what they've had to do is pretend to be professionals in other industries.
Yeah.
Right?
And Jamie, sure.
Jamie O'Hara.
It's not the big reveal. I'm Jamie. Oh, my goodness.
No.
Ex-Spurs.
Jamie O'Hara's has been given the job of ad salesman.
Yeah.
He's not clever enough for that. It's not going to work. He's never going to wash.
Ryan Barbel in the trailer, just got it up now. If she looks like Beyonce, she's my type.
No, that's just your Hinge buyer, mate.
Well, yeah, that's
you've
that
got the wrong
exactly
tab open
it,
there.
Yeah.
Right?
If she's an international sex symbol, she's my type.
I just can't see how this will end in anything good, and therefore we should be very, very supportive of it.
What's good for the Ramble isn't necessarily good for your TV.
No, but it's great news though. This that Jamie O'Hara's doing this. I maintain, I have spent time with the man at various functions. unfortunately.
Yeah.
I maintain he is, you know, I'm not judging him for this, although it's going to sound like I am. I maintain he is the stupidest man I've ever met.
Yeah, it doesn't sound judgmental.
Now, some people will think I'm saying the stupidest man in football. No.
No, no, no.
The stupidest man I've ever met. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I quite want to watch it.
Blimey, I'm thinking back to people we went to university together. I'm like, that's a stiff
the guy you're thinking of now, even him.
Bloody Nora.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that? Yeah. Well, there you are, everybody.
This space.
Yeah, coming up in the second half, we've got David Moyes leaving West Ham United. A little preview ahead of tonight's match between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Oh, and Erik ten Hag of Manchester United losing 4-0 to Crystal Palace. Lol, see you in a moment.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Bring Calvin Phillips in. He's made, what, two mistakes now by the sending off. All this Yorkshire Perlo bollocks. He's a Yorkshire pudding, mate.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Some banter there from a West Ham United fan.
Sometimes we will indulge in some banter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should be frightened of it.
No, should not be frightened of the banter.
Unless you're Joey Barton.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy, don't mention that man's
Joey Banton.
He is not.
Sorry, he'd be bankrupt soon. I was going to think of a way of putting banter in bankrupt, but I couldn't.
Okay, well, he's up and coming again. Before we get to the fallout, Manchester United, there was breaking news yesterday. How about that? Get your day-late breaking news at the Football Ramble. Nottingham Forest's appeal to have their four-point deduction overturned has been rejected. Ah, Luton, you're still involved. You're still alive.
It just feels weird. It just feels weird that, like, at the stroke of a pen on some decision, that Luton are now not relegated yet.
What I wish is that Rob Edwards and the boys were sitting around a TV a bit like
No, topless in the stands with a beer with the fans.
That, it seems to be in vogue at the moment.
Yeah,
they remain 3 points ahead of Luton. Nottingham Forest, of course, two games to play, but a big old goal difference.
They should have done, like, a gender reveal for a new baby.
Yeah, Vish was talking about this on
Monday.
Yeah,
we mentioned that on Monday,
should have popped the balloon and then won.
Yeah.
Championship in one balloon.
Listen to the show. You might like it.
I'm not having that fucking rubbish in my house.
All to play for with regards to Luton Town, but they are very much up against it, of course. The good news, though, for Luton is they are playing Fulham on the last day. And there have been suggestions.
Reports from the Fulham training camp over the last week or so have been somewhat laid back.
Their players have been seen flying kites at their training camp. Now, I've been reassuring Jim Campbell and other Arsenal fans that don't worry.
Hey, what's that? That kite's got a Man City crest on it. Who gave you that?
Yeah, I've been trying to reassure them that Man City, they've still got to go to the cottage.
If you're an Arsenal fan, would you be annoyed to see that?
I don't think I... Well, look, they're relaxed. They're not nervous about the game.
If Fulham
I agree with that.
If Fulham carry on like this, Mick McCarthy's going to get a fine.
Andy, come on. What were you going to say there? You're going to stick up for my boys? Well,
maybe that's what Luton should be doing, to feel like relaxed ahead of these big games.
Yeah, watching a bit of Mary Poppins and then going and flying a kite.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but it's certainly a more relaxed atmosphere down at Fulham than we can say at Manchester United. Eric Ten Hag said Manchester United's 4-0 loss to Crystal Palace on Monday was the worst loss in his time as Man United coach. Now, if
and then
I was,
he thought of all the ones over the last year.
If I was a journalist, Andy, I would have said, Eric, well, actually, and then...
Imagine if they kept coming back at him. Yeah.
What about the one...
Worse than that one, yeah.
Worse than Brentford. Worse. Yeah. Okay, okay. The Liverpool, 7-0 loss?
Yeah.
No, okay. Are you sure, Eric, that you're thinking that
the thing, the reason one? Eric's saying that is because in his mind he's thinking, yeah, but Liverpool are actually decent.
Mm.
So that's probably why it doesn't count as much.
That's a dig at what Glasner's doing.
Well, that's just what I'm projecting what Eric Ten Hag was possibly thinking. I'm not saying I agree with that.
Okay. Palace are having a storming end to the season.
They're doing absolutely really well.
And they score lovely goals, don't they, Crystal Palace?
Because they have lovely players.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to get star-eyed about a goal against Fulham, but that is definitely, that Schlupp one, like, it's an absolute rocket.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, I don't think we mentioned it too much on the show. It was an absolute peach. And in this game, I mean, Mateta, the way he just brushed past the defenders, like, get out the way.
And he doesn't rate Mateta.
And then... Have you seen that finish, Andy?
Did I say that?
You said he's doing very, very well to be mentioned in that magical front three at Crystal Palace.
Oh, well, he definitely is still.
I think that's
Andy,
fair, isn't it?
The way he stuffed that, but he is on
see him play against United. I know it's low-hanging fruit, but you go beat what's in front of you.
He's having a Rodrigo Muniz-esque time at the moment.
Yeah, he's having a great spell of form.
Yeah, okay. We can't deny that, Andy. We can't deny that. But yeah, 4-0, it was piss poor. It was embarrassing. It was damning.
Do you know what I like? I like when normally...
They've still got a cup final to play.
Yeah, I know. But Casemiro...
They were talking about sacking him before the cup final.
Casemiro steps into centre-back, right? And what normally happens with an old stager...
I've seen Javier Mascherano do this.
Yeah, like, oh, all the games in front of you, you can look a bit like a Rolls-Royce, you're doing a favour for the team, everyone thinks you're really great. Nah, terrible.
He looks like a Morris Minor.
Terrible. He does.
Tell you what, it was... this has to be... What is going on with Casemiro? Like, it's got some sort of injury or something. I mean, like we keep saying this, but yet nothing's come out.
Well, I think... I don't...
He can't... I mean, look, he's...
He should be playing. Like, obviously he couldn't for this particular game because of the injuries United had at centre back. But I thought he was moved back to centre back a bit too early because there were other options there that he eventually pulled the cord on.
Sure, but his overall demeanour and performance in you know, I don't know how long it's been, has been, like, I'd almost say, like, troubling. Like, is there something, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you find out later that there was off-field stuff going on and he was, you know, he was having a terrible time or whatever, which is why I keep saying, or is there an injury? You know,
an athletic thing, I think. It looks like his legs have gone. Now, that might not be right. He might just be having a physical dip. He might be put in a place in that system by Eric Ten Hag, which I think is also true, where he's really exposed and he's having to do way more running than he ever had to at Real Madrid. But you could argue that Real Madrid were ready to sell him rather than re-up him for a reason.
But, but I'm just sort of slightly concerned.
Although he was excellent in most of that first season.
Yeah, look, he had a phenomenal career, lest we forget. But I'm almost like concerned for the guy, do you know what I mean? Because he is being targeted so much, the pundits are panning him, and understandably, not defending his performance, but surely as a manager, I mean, maybe it shows you the situation at Manchester United. Well, it does show you the situation at Manchester United. He should have been taken out of the team a few weeks ago and go, right, you need a rest, you need some sort of refreshment because you're an incredible midfield player and what's going on right now is not befitting of you and your career and therefore he needs to be managed. And I understand Ten Hag may say, well, what, you know, what options have I got, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'll tell you something... No, an academy player would put in more.
He's got seven defenders unavailable at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But like at the moment, an academy player or a young player hasn't played would put in more of a shift.
I just think it could be a combination of the things you guys are talking about. But I still think someone of his quality and experience should have enough to not be that bad.
But that's why I'm mystified by it.
It's got to be some kind of... Haven't we been here before? Like, Maguire, before you get to the point where he's left out of the United team, his form should have been addressed earlier. He should have got the help that he didn't get. And he ended up digging himself into a huge hole of form.
But I think it's different now, Andy.
This is what Manchester United
is. No, but I think it's different because Maguire was making individual errors. Casemiro, it's the whole body language. It's the effort. It looks like...
I don't know if it's the effort, though.
I don't think it is
effort. He's just getting beaten.
He's absolutely blowing, mate.
Yeah, but well, that, but that's not body language, is it? That's just physicality.
I don't think it's quite the
it's
same as
fitness. But you're in this position because the players you've brought in aren't quite well. Let's I don't know where to start really. But the players you brought in for so much money that when you're in a situation where your system is ineffective and you have injuries, you kind of have to keep picking them because you paid for them.
So they've got a cup final coming up, and they could have addressed this a few weeks ago. If we are saying, and assuming like a lot of people are, understandably, that he is absolutely knackered, what are you going to do? What keep playing him until he's like a car battery? Oh, it will recharge as you go, kind of thing.
There is a logic to that. Let's just rest everyone for the one good thing that might happen.
I think this is bad management, quite frankly.
Can anyone else see him in absolutely sparkling form for a Serie A team next season?
Oh, yeah.
While United pick up most of the wages,
definitely. But I mean, look, like I say, Manchester United still have stuff to play for this season, lest we forget.
Well, stuff.
I mean, Casemiro is the kind of Jupiter of the solar system, dragging in all the gravity for everyone else to get away with stuff. But
I don't think anyone was saying that he was.
No, but he, but the other thing I find curious is like the amount of decisions that get made by Ten Hag that are just so odd. Like, I mean, it's the easiesest thing in the world to not play Casemiro.
Exactly.
Because you just got to say, well, look at him.
Yes.
Have you got eyes? Watch him.
This is my point, Luke.
I agree with that. But also, I think it kind of goes under the radar a bit how much they moved heaven and earth for weeks to get Amrabat in. Mm. And he can't even get, and look at the state they're in.
Yeah.
And he can't even get in the first 11.
I know.
No, they didn't, did they? They sort of thought about it. They kept in touch with his people. And when they were running out of options, they signed him at the end with no commitment to keep him at the end of the season.
Look, he was listed for a long time as a key target that Ten Hag wanted.
That's true.
I think that was off the back of the World Cup, though, wasn't it? And it was mainly done by the other side because there was mainly reports in Italy, wasn't there? That Amrabat United is a thing. And I think his agent talked it up because he's a United fan or something like that.
Well, let's put all this into context. This Manchester United have won one of the last six games. Had they even just won one, they would be 3 points off Tottenham Hotspur. Like they still can mathematically qualify for the Europa League. But I mean, if they hadn't been that bad, if they'd have managed this whole thing a bit better, then they could have actually had a respectable finish. I mean, they need 5 points from their last three games now to ensure that this isn't their worst ever Premier League season.
And
there is a cup final to be played.
And the thing about it is, we've all watched football for a long old time, right? You can tell. Sometimes teams beat other teams, particularly in the Premier League, it happens, right? Mm. Sometimes teams go that extra mile. Mm. And I always felt like, I would always feel like if you were a top five or six Premier League team, with the possible exception of Man City recently, you go away to a kind of game, lower half of the table Premier League team, particularly towards the end of the season, they're fighting for something. It can actually be really tough. It's underrated how tough it can be. So I don't think there's necessarily any kind of embarrassment about losing at Selhurst Park if you're Man United.
Well, they're on a good run as well. They beat Newcastle.
But it's the manner of how Man United played.
Exactly.
Like without the ball, it was almost a bit like, hey, lads, you're taking the piss here. I mean, Ten Hag said in the interview after the game, it's impossible for us to defend like that. That's not what they were given as instructions. I don't actually think it was picked up on very well by the Monday Night Football crew, which is rare for them because they're normally pretty good. He came out with some stuff where he was basically saying, if you put aside the language barrier, he was basically saying, we coached them to not do that and they are doing it.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to imagine how that could happen, something like that. And I thought that should have been drilled down to into a bit more, because what he's basically saying is either he's signing his own death warrant anyway by saying, they're not listening to me. Mm-hmm. They're not doing what I say. Or he's basically saying he hasn't got any answers to the problem. And I wish that had been investigated further, because it was a really like brazen thing for him to say. I understand he was angry, but he's quite a balanced guy in interviews normally, quite softly spoken. He's not like a ranter and a raver.
He's become a bit prickly in the last few weeks.
He's been prickly in press conferences more recently.
Yeah, it's probably more in press conferences than on TV interviews. I think they did try and drill down into that, because he spoke specifically about an issue from a throw-in on the left, and they kind of extrapolated.
That was the situation he was saying was impossible they could concede.
I suppose broadly they didn't do that. But he has the thing that's been quite, well, I suppose a recurring theme in his interviews has been this talk of, they didn't follow instructions. Mm. And obviously at some point when you're giving these instructions, as someone who gives these instructions, you've got to think,
Should I do it in English?
I did do it in English, didn't I? Steve, why don't you... No, not you, actually, Steve. I lost it.
But we know you don't want Steve English or Dutch. How about something in between?
Yeah.
but also, the wider point is just that if you look at the sheer amount of players at Man United under Ten Hag who have, for various reasons, basically just been awful.
Yeah.
It is actually a bit of a damning indictment on his stewardship. I mean, you can talk about the kind of infrastructure which seems to slowly be sorted out behind the scenes. You can talk about the fact they get a lot of attention because they're Man United. Mm. But the list of players who have just been, for different reasons, I guess, just either not up to it or totally woeful is embarrassing.
The thing is, I just find so intriguing is last season they had a good season under the manager. Like, you know, this season's just been...
But there were signs.
There were signs that he was going to improve. Yeah, if I was Ten Hag, I would just say, after every game where certain individuals have played really well against him, I'd go, yeah, but look, don't worry, because next season we are going to sign Michael Olise. We are going to sign Adam Wharton.
Every player that's scored against
him. Yeah, basically. So this is just a fact-finding mission at the moment. We're just scouting players. Whoever plays against us, we sort of lay the foundation. So Elise's come in, Wharton's come in. We'll even get Mateta, Andy.
Just to spot you.
I'll tell you what,
This is where United are at the moment, though, aren't they? That they're such a vortex of talent on and off the field. That Erik ten Hag, like, you know, you've got a club like Bayern Munich going, you know what? You'd probably be fine here.
I know, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, Man United could do with a player like Adam Wharton, couldn't they?
Yeah, and I think it's not a great advertisement for the fans of Kobbie Mainoo among us, is it, either?
What do you mean?
Well, because he's completely overshadowed by another player who's nowhere near the England setup.
On one particular occasion.
Well, they don't play each other every week, do they?
Yeah, but
it's not like gladiators run on top of a fucking thing with a pugil stick, is it?
It should be. I mean, I've often
campaigned. I'll be up for that. I'm just saying, it's not.
Oh, right, okay. Well, get involved with the campaign or don't. you don't suddenly take away what Mainoo's done this season. But, oi, look, we will be talking about Adam Wharton and his England chances a little bit more on tomorrow's Lions Watch.
What are we going to do for the 44 minutes and 30 seconds?
We're going to talk about Maguire's injury. So subscribe to make sure you don't miss that, everybody.
I mean, let me just flip it on you then. I mean, when's the last time Mainoo was decent? When was he playing? He gets a lot of chat because he's a Man United player, he's a young English midfield player, and he looks like he's a calm head among an absolute shit show. Yeah. And that's to his credit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's really been playing that well recently, has he? And when someone like Adam Wharton comes along, he's hugely unfancy, come up from the Championship, quietly going about his business, similar age, and looks that good against a team who are supposed to be the team, or one of the teams, it does put it in perspective a little bit. I think that's a fair point to make.
Doesn't it just put it in the perspective that you've got to be placed in the position to succeed?
Yeah, I suppose.
As well as actually grasping an opportunity.
I think we're forgetting that it's 26 man squad now.
It's true, actually.
Get them all on board.
But with the greatest respect, Andy, I understand that. But Adam Wharton's playing alongside like Will Hughes, not Christian Eriksen. Mm. You know,
Will Hughes can run.
I was about to say. Yeah. Would you rather play alongside Will Hughes or Casemiro and Eriksen? I think you're going for your mate Will.
Yeah. To be fair, Mainoo's basically running around with a bucket of water trying to put about 50 fires out.
Yeah, give him a bit of credit there.
Yeah, I thought he was good though, Wharton, and it's great credit to him how he was.
But we should say that we did a poll on X, and 75% of Ramble followers voted that they want Erik ten Hag to stay for next season. Bit disappointed in 25% of you. Presumably some of you are Man United fans.
So what we've learned from that, Marcus, and is 25% of our listeners are Man United fans.
I know, I think probably about half of them are Man United fans, and Vicious had got a lot of burner accounts.
Yes, yeah.
I think my brother also has a lot of burner accounts. 75%.
Oh, dearie me. But the aforementioned Thomas Tuchel has overtaken Gareth Southgate as a favourite to be next Manchester United manager. Tuchel, I think, would be a shame, because when you mentioned that Ten Hag could
vaguely
stay,
competent.
And also when we hear that Jose Mourinho has told people that he would love to manage Man United for a second time and would walk to Old Trafford to do so, it's just like...
Presumably he was in the wings at the time, was he? 5 minute walk.
Can't get the tram. Hotel football.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not getting the tram on match days.
You could put that headline another way, couldn't you, by just saying most famous football manager in the world would like a job. Is basically
job.
What he's saying. Yeah.
Would you be happy with Mourinho coming back to Manchester United, Vish?
I don't know.
You don't have to spend time answering this.
I think the Ineos Mourinho styles could be quite entertaining, because so far they've.
For
everyone, yeah.
You're talking about the Rambles.
Well, but I think kind of everyone, because I think at this point in time, they've just come in and like had a go at the cleaner, Ineos, that
yeah,
is,
yeah, yeah.
had a go at the cleaners, the had IT a go at like, the infrastructure,
yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
and have not like actually done anything football-wise, so... It'd be nice for them to be challenged.
I thought that was really interesting. This thing you guys talked about last week about Ratcliffe, that leaked email, whatever it was, right? That internal kind of comms. I find it really interesting as to how Ratcliffe, who was obviously a very successful guy, will adjust, because what he's learning, I would argue the hard way, is that actually a club, so fine to be involved in Nice, but a club of this size, anything you do is going to be leaked. Unless you hire everybody you know, like it's some kind of like Stasi type operation. So how he adjusts his operations is going to be really interesting.
But wasn't that a little bit like, you know, because it looks like he's ruling with an iron fist, whereas he wasn't involved really at Nice.
He's leaking it on purpose.
Yeah, I think it's like Larry David's accidentally on purpose text.
Okay, right.
I think that's what
that's the kind of incompetency that they just don't have at Manchester United, Andy.
There's a leak in the literal roof.
Full of leaks. Full of leaks.
We've got to sort out the leak. I know.
Well, I think we'd all like to see Mourinho back at Manchester United. It would be funny. Or another man who will be available come the summer is David Moyes. He is going to be leaving West Ham at the end of the season. It was announced on Monday, of course. In a statement, Moyes said, "When I joined West Ham for a second time, the club was one place above the relegation zone, and it has been a terrific journey to have achieved three consecutive seasons in Europe." With that kind of pedigree...
It's a dig, isn't it?
I think he'd be well.
It's a lovely
back
prickly statement.
It is, yeah. You were shite when I took over. You're better off now, and you've got a trophy. In fact, I'll take the trophy with me if you don't want it.
He might as well put in his statement what a lot of other football fans talk about with West Ham. Seriously, guys, like at the moment, in like 2024, who exactly the fuck do you think you are? Because this is what's happened under my watch.
I know.
You know, Moyes. That's what it felt like anyway, because Moyes has definitely got that about him.
Yeah. What do you think, Andy? Moyes leaving West Ham? I mean, it makes sense.
Inevitable. Yeah. Absolutely inevitable. And like the European trophy is amazing. They'll be enjoying it for years.
You can call it the Europa Conference League.
Okay. I think European trophy sounds more impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. That's how Jose Mourinho would phrase it, certainly.
Champions of Europe, we know what we are. That's what they say.
Why are you putting three fingers in the air, Andy, what you're saying?
And I just think, you know, everything's got a natural lifespan, particularly in the Premier League. I think it's okay for there to be nuance, for us to say that David Moyes helped them out of a real hole when he initially came back. He improved a lot of players who were dead weight, and eventually it ran out of steam. And basically, the Europa Conference League win, Marcus, saved him from getting fired at the end of last season. Because when you look at the squad they had, last season in the league was atrocious. And obviously, the way that the back end of this season has fallen off has been pretty bad as well.
Mm.
And that's without even talking about the style of football.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fair. I think that. For David Moyes, you know, I was thinking to myself, well, where could he go next season? Where would he go next season? I wouldn't have thought he would be short of job offers. And I thought...
But think about it. Yeah.
But I did think to myself, I'd like to see him as a pundit, because I think he'd be pretty good. Because he can be a bit punchy if he wants to. But I think he also can have a little bit of a job. I'd like to see him...
He's not a media guy, is he?
No, he's not, but he might become that, though. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I don't think he wants that.
He said himself, didn't he? He loves football so much that he just wants to be involved in it.
I think it'd be really interesting to see which club decides to, I suppose, get him in, because I think it'll be largely based on circumstances, and I'd be very surprised if a top 10 team, a team with top 10 aspirations, get him in, because I think that's what the underlying thing here, above all, like the you know, I suppose people from the outside thinking that West Ham have been underhanded here and this, that, and the other. Part of the reason it's been bubbling around over for the last two seasons is because there is a sense week to week from West Ham fans that like he is limited in some ways. So he can get brilliant players in, but there always comes a point where someone like Paqueta, for example, is a bit hamstrung because he has to be a bit more defensive. And given the way that other managers have come in, look at Iriola, Bournemouth, and the fact that more clubs are looking overseas as well, I do wonder where his next job comes from, and who, and
I agree.
Ultimately, who thinks it's a good idea in 2024, 2025?
Yeah, there's not an obvious spot for him, I think. If you're talking about other Premier League jobs, he's far more likely to get a job in October or November than he is in the summer.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
We should probably throw in O'Neill in that conversation as well, in terms of, like, there are younger English managers as well. Mm.
The October-November point around is really a really interesting one.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Because what Moyes has been able to do, I think, at West Ham, is almost, not entirely, almost shake off this reputation. Mm-hmm. I feel like he had unfairly as being in that bracket of Alan Pardew, Sam Allardyce, these old-fashioned English managers. I've always felt like, and I think it's fair to say, he's actually better than that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the Conference League win certainly helped to win that argument.
Well, and other stints in Europe, it wasn't just that, you know. But he's a very admirable effort in the Europa League this season.
He is constantly held back by the idea that the type of football that West Ham can play, particularly when they've got like one or two key players missing, it just reverts to type and is so boring and so negative and so defensive. I've got friends, good friends who support West Ham who say, Europa Conference League was great. Amazing achievement. We loved it, everything. But to be perfectly honest, I've not really enjoyed watching West Ham under Moyes. And so we have to take that into account as well. And his age, he's probably not really realistically going to involve that as much. So maybe a club the size of West Ham is just a little bit above where he can be.
I mean, looking at the teams and you're thinking, I agree with you, Andy, about the, what did you say, September, October, around that time in terms of Premier League jobs. You know, you're looking at the bottom half of the table. The only thing that could become available maybe is someone would be Nottingham Forest. Presumably they survive.
I mean, that's the thing. You need to be, as a team, you need to be enough in the mud that you don't really care about the style of football.
Yeah.
You just want to get out of the bottom part of the table.
And you know what Marinakis is like? That it wouldn't shock you if he sacked Nuno at the end of the season kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but look, we're just sort of speculating now. But we know that Julian Lopetegui is close, if not already agreed a deal with West Ham United. It hasn't been officially announced at the time of recording, but I mean, I think that's a real coup for West Ham if that goes through.
It is. I think, like, obviously Andy will be able to tell you in a bit more detail. I'm a little bit wary of how he would react with the ownership, because he's clearly someone who looks up what the structure and place above him and is not afraid to have a go. Mm. And that doesn't necessarily go down well at West Ham.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of that when you heard Lopetegui?
It's not as glamorous as Ruben Amorim, and it won't be as much of a revolution as it would be with Ruben Amorim, who's going to stay at Sporting. I still think it's a really good get. Mm. And Lopetegui has this, like, quite negative image, you know.
In terms of style of play or in terms of how he's managed himself?
At Wolves, they didn't score goals, did they? They didn't really get any goals.
That's what he inherited.
That's pre-Gag O'Neill Wolves.
Gary O'Neill's got him scoring.
Yeah, but, like, look at some of the forward players.
Where's his parade?
Look at some of the forward players he's got. That, like, Lopetegui never really had those forward players, or never for a long period of time, as well as inheriting a team that played in a very particular way. I mean, I think you're not talking about absolutely dazzling football, but you're talking about a desire to play better football. You're talking about a desire to keep the ball. He did a great job at Sevilla. I think Vish's point is really interesting, actually, because when I think if you look at him and the age he is, he's actually got relatively little club management experience. You would expect more for someone of that age, and he's got more off the back of the Spain job.
He's 57, we should say. I was surprised to see he was 57.
You would expect a longer CV, wouldn't you, for someone of that age?
But he does look great as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, he looks like Cliff Richard.
Ooh.
He does a bit.
Now you are talking.
Here we go.
Sir Cliff Richard, thank you.
He also would have managed more games if he hadn't piled in on before the year when he was Spain manager. When it was Fernando Hierro had to take over, didn't he, before the World Cup?
That is true. But going back to what Vish was saying, his previous big job before Spain was Porto. And there, they gave him the keys, they let him buy the players, it was an absolute disaster, and they're still in that financial hole. So really, anyone's aware of that...
Welcome to East London!
Like, coach the team, don't buy the players.
Yeah. Mm. Don't think he said that in this interview, did he?
That's the thing, he obviously interviews really, really well.
Andy, are you consulted on any of this stuff? You know about this stuff. Clubs like West Ham should be asking you for your advice.
Well, they should be, yeah.
They should, and you should be sticking the boot into all the people you don't like. Now, he once went to Milton Keynes, don't hire him, for example.
Who doesn't Andy like?
It's a good point. He really likes... they're good pals. He absolutely
loves.
He loves. We all love.
Enough.
Yeah.
It's nice being in the room when these names are going to be bleeped, isn't it? Because you might listen and be like, God, who that was.
It almost says a lot of skeletons in Andy's closet.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, but he put them there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it is. It is.
And he knows where they're going to sign next.
Yeah, although, but going back to Lopetegui, though, he has won the Europa League, which is the bonus you get for managing Sevilla. If you haven't won a trophy, get yourself that job and you'll suit yourself up. So that's an improvement on Moyes, is what we're saying.
It's the one up.
Yeah, he didn't do very well at Real Madrid when they did the Champions League. So, but stages, Andy. You've got to build.
I think he'll be really good for them.
Yeah. Right, then, let's talk about Real Madrid and Bayern Munich very, very briefly. It's tonight's game. It is one of the all-time great glamour ties of European football, you'd have to say, because Real Madrid, of course, have won the European Cup / Champions League the most amount of times of any club in Europe. And next on the list, way down in second, because there is a gulf, is AC Milan. And then behind them is a pack of teams, which Bayern Munich and Liverpool are in as well.
Yeah.
So
Thanks for letting us know about that.
Just a little bit of history there for you all. Milan are a little bit off it at the moment, but Bayern are there. Luke Moore, how do you see this one going?
A big 50-50 between Bellingham and Kane, involving them both getting a broken leg.
It's Kane v Bellingham again. They're going to be marking each other.
Yeah. I'd like
when kids come in. Oh, my friend, they just run over there.
Yeah. Or like when you play for your school team against some people you play with at club level at the on the Saturday.
Mm.
Yeah, when you play for example, I played for Gosport Vikings.
Did you?
But then with some load of players.
Did you really?
And a load of schools, but it's different schools, right? So during the week on the Wednesday, you play against different schools.
Yeah.
So a bit like that.
It's just, yeah.
Does Bellingham take penalties for Real Madrid, Andy?
Sometimes.
So Kane.
Does he actually?
Sometimes, but Vinicius is the first choice.
Kane could get him back, couldn't he? Give him a little.
I don't know. Somebody else who's not going to talk about Gosport Borough or
Gosport Vikings.
Vikings.
He's never good enough to play for Gosport Borough. They're like Conference South. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Vish, how's it going to go tonight? What do you think?
You know, the worst thing.
You fancy the Vikings, don't you?
Yeah, I do a little bit. They know how to get things done, though. Yeah,
exactly. They've moved off
Vikings.
Yeah, very, very little pillaging going on.
Yeah.
Under nines.
I can't get my head around finding this Real Madrid team likable. And
Carlo always helps.
Carlo.
Yeah, Carlo, Vinny, Bellingham.
Yeah, you go. It's something to hang your hat on.
I also like the idea that Casemiro might be watching this at home and seeing Cruz and Modric still going and be like, I fucking ran for you lot. This is why I'm in this state now. But I
That's
think,
why he's knackered.
I think Real Madrid are going through with this, yeah.
I'd be very surprised if they didn't. But then I said this about PSG.
Don't underestimate Thomas Tuchel in the Champions League.
That's it, Andy. Who would you rather win the Champions League, Andy? Because it would be incredibly romantic if Dortmund did.
Yeah, I think it would.
And one in the eye for Ten Hag and Man United because Jadon Sancho would have a winner's medal. But then seeing...
Coutinho-esque.
Indeed. But seeing little Eric Dier and Harry Kane at Wembley, finally with the trophy.
I think Eric's out tonight, isn't he?
No, but if they won it, he would be there. He'd be invited along, at least on the bench.
Imagine if he wasn't.
I can't, and I won't.
He's quite literally been their most important defender since he's arrived.
Yeah.
Which I think...
You'd take him to the Euros, wouldn't you?
Yes. No. I think it tells you how undervalued Dier is here, but I also think it tells you what chaotic season it's been for Bayern.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a great game. I'm looking forward to it.
Very much so. Very much so. Right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Vish and I will be back tonight for Ramble Reacts following that game between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Also follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vatushin Hantharaja.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew Brassel.
Thanks so much.
See you for Ramble Reacts tonight.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.